And when everything's going haywire, remember who your God is. We're not talking about some foolishness, some little thought, some little social norm. We're talking about as a creator of the universe who works in the lives of individuals, if we'll let him do it. If we'll let him do it. Amen. Amen, amen. Take your Bibles, if you will, please, and turn to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. That's our starting verse. Didn't get very far last week. Got some things I want us to see. There's some tough things we're going to talk about this morning. Please listen to me, all right? Please listen to me as we do this morning. That was good. Excuse me for that. Mic was on, sorry. Proverbs 29, verse 18, our verse for this year, our theme verse, and we're working, just kind of getting started on this for this year. And we started half of that verse, or portion of that verse last week, and didn't get real far with it. And things we're going to get a little more specific with us here this morning. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, I'm not going to, that's not my message, but just got to get you going in the right direction here. He that keepeth the law, happy is he. The law is the word of God. And in the Old Testament, of course, that's what it's talking about. It's really talking about the law of God. The rules for life. If we don't obey the rules for life, we're going to get ourselves in trouble. Now watch me. Not just because somebody's going to come down and give us a hard time. We're going to mess things up. There are rules on how things work. And you can do what you want and play with it all you want. But the fact is, if you want it to work, you got to obey the rules. When back in 1992, now a bunch of folks here weren't even close to your mouth. I know it's a long time ago. All right, they don't even know, some of these kids weren't even born yet. You know, I've got some of these other folks. Well, some of these young Marys probably weren't even born yet. But anyway, 1992, I got the first computer that I started working with. You know what I found out? If you don't obey the rules for how the computer works, it won't work. We had, ready for this? Windows 3.01, what it was, you know. And I just got the job full time as the music director down at Open Door. And you can't find the music, you arrange it, you write it, you do what you need to do. And so I had to, they bought me, it was a, they had the most powerful computer on the campus. It was a 386 DX. And it had 120 megs of memory. You'll never need any more. That's what they told me. And everybody in the rest of the church was jealous because I had the best here. The guy down in the music department had the best computer in the whole works, and I would use it to do this music program. And back then, it didn't have automatic backup or anything. And you're going along, and I'll do boop, and the screen would go black, and everything you had just done was gone. But I found I'd go home with migraine headaches day after day after day because I had never used a computer before. I hadn't done a whole lot of arranging before. And I'm trying to learn how to use this program before. And I just, you know, it was just trying to figure out. And I found out that I had to actually make little lists. And this is what you do, and this is what you do, and this is what you do. And I had a book open that would help book from the music program. Here's how we do this, here's how we do this. And I mean, I had never done any of this before. I wasn't trained on a computer. And so I learned until I go down my list. You do this, then you do this, and you do this. If you do this and then you do this, it doesn't work. You have to keep the book open and do what the book said, and it would work. Life is like that. People say, well, I wish God had given us a handbook on how to live life. He did. It's a book on marriage, it's a book on raising kids, it's a book on how to have life, how to make it work. In fact, he says, if you keep the law, happy is he. Now, if life is making you miserable and you cannot find any happiness in life, I'll guarantee you, you're not keeping the law. I'm not saying bad things don't happen, other things happen in your life, but if life is miserable, I'll guarantee you, you're not keeping the law. Now, where there is no vision, the people perish. The word vision there means a prophecy. It means a revelation, an oracle. It's the word of God. That's why it's counterbalanced with the word law. The law is the word of God. And where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law is what is the vision that we need, the word of God. He said, if you don't have the word of God, you're going to perish. The word perish there means to waste away, to pine away in destruction. Things are just kind of headed for loss, degradation, decay. Things are just not going well and are getting worse as we go along. You know, we start out young and we got a lot of energy. We think we can muscle our way through life, but eventually things just start wearing out. You say, well, I'm just kind of burned out. That's because you have no vision. The vision is the word of God. So in other words, last week Adam Clark, the commentator. There we go. He's a commentator. All right. Anyway, never mind. Where divine revelation and faithful preaching of the sacred testimonies are neither reverenced nor attended, when we don't want to hear the word of God, we haven't heard it. Maybe we didn't want to. Maybe we just didn't. Maybe we just couldn't. I don't know what the deal is, but we haven't had it. It says, the ruin of that land is at no great distance. It's only a matter of time. But a matter of time, we're going to find out we're going to have a problem. Now, again, let me say something. Please understand that I don't want to hurt anybody. In fact, I want to help you. And I may even mention something in our negative connotation that you're accustomed to doing. We must remember, truth is not determined by the majority of the public opinion. And truth is dictated by God. And you may feel I'm being overly dramatic or even alarmist here. But there's a trend in our society, and it's a direction that's not good. And we can sit by and watch people perish one after another. We can do all we can with God's power, maybe, to save as many as we can. You could be that you're sitting here this morning, that you're in the midst of the perishing. And you don't know it. In fact, a lot of times we don't know until it's almost too late. Let me pray here, and we're going to do people are perishing, part number two. Last week we started, people are perishing, part number two. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings and for your word, and thank you that you don't leave us alone. You do give us a handbook. You give us life laws to live by, and Lord, forgive us when we just walk off on our own and start doing what we want to do, and then we wonder why we come around. We go off on our own path, and then we fret against the Lord. Because we don't have what we have, we think it's all his fault. We have just failed. We have just failed in learning your law and obeying and living by it. So Lord, help us. And Lord, forgive us when we think we're doing fine without you, and realize that down the road we're almost sometimes when it's too late that we need to change what we're doing. Lord, I pray that you bless our time. Give each of us again what we need here this morning. I yield myself to you. May your Holy Spirit move. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Last week we talked about the fact that people are perishing. Lives are going down the hill. Maybe individual lives, maybe families, maybe couples, maybe the kids. When we look around the world we live in, we see people perishing. We see things going down. Not that they die instantly, but there's a trend. To perish away, to waste away, to live in the refuse of life. To be headed for loss, degradation, decay. Like perishable fruit. And without any constraint to hold back decay, it eventually perishes away entirely. Number two, we found out that people are perishing because people don't know the Word of God. That was the two basic principles we learned last week. Five times in Matthew, Jesus says, have ye not read? He says, ye do err, not knowing the word of God. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people who err in life because they don't know the word of God. I'm not looking down my, we've all started that. We all have to start. We got to learn somewhere. You weren't born knowing your multiplication tables. But you had to learn one times one, two times two, two times three, two times four, two times six. You know, you learn those things. You learn how to write. You learn how to do what you got to do. And life is the same way. In fact, the Lord says a child left to himself will bring his mother to shame. Train up a child. Why? Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. He says, he that spareth the rod hateth his son. Now, the rod's not to beat him, but it is to kind of get him going in the right direction. We need training. Deuteronomy says we're supposed to talk about the things of God when we get up in the morning, when we get down at night, along the way, on the doorpost. Why? Because that's what it takes for us to learn the Word of God. And we wonder why life is going down the tubes, because we take the Word of God. It's the church's job to get out the Word of God. But the fact is, a lot of people were only getting the Word of God because the school was doing it for a while. And then we took it out of school back in the 60s. Now we've had several generations come up that don't know the Word of God. And we wonder why our society is perishing. In what way? Number one, in what way are we perishing? I want to give you just a few things today, and I'm going to get specific. Again, this may apply to us individually this morning. And it is, take heed. We don't have to go any further than we've already gone. And just as the body is able to heal itself, God can help heal you, help heal that spot where you are. But we're not going to heal it by going out and fighting what the world says to do, because that's how we got in trouble in the first place. We got to go back to where we were supposed to be years ago, generations ago, where we lived by the Word of God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Last week we talked about this. Be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's a promise. But we're decaying when our lives are going down and we're falling apart and we don't know what to do and we're not sure whether we're going to make it till the next morning. We've done something wrong. Can we get it through our heads that we can do it God's way? Every single one of us can do that. We've got to get a vision. Maybe your life is doing okay, but the reason our society is where it is because people who were doing okay just sat and didn't give out the Word of God. We've got to do it. And if we don't do it, it's not going to get done. There's a lot of people who say, well, they don't know that there's a problem, and I understand that. You could say they're sick and they don't know it. Last fall, and again, I hate to use this illustration, but it works. I hadn't been feeling quite right, and my wife said, "You're not right." And I said, "Well, I'm okay. I'm all right." And finally, my kidney burst, and I went, "It's a pain," and went down to the emergency room and said, "Can you give me something for this pain?" "Well, we'll take care of that, but what we're worried about is your heart." "My what?" "My heart." "Your heart. In fact," they said, I think your kidney just saved your life." Now, it was getting bad. I knew I needed to get to the doctor. But I'll tell you what was going on. All this, I'll be honest with you, I lost so much weight so fast, I flushed it down the toilet. It was so much water, and they gave me this water pill, and they gave me all this water pill, and I got rid of so much water in about 2 weeks that I really think a lot of it was water. I really do. I don't think a lot of it was fat. I think it was actually water. But it was filling up. My legs, my feet were swelling. My legs were swelling. Then I realized my knees were swelling. My thighs were swollen. They said I had so much water up here. They said you couldn't believe how much water. They actually tapped a hole in the back of my back and drew water off. It was so bad. Now, it had been coming on for years, probably. And I thought I was fine. You know what I think? I don't. In fact, they said I probably had some silent heart attacks and didn't know it. You know what? I think there were some things going on that's been since I was a kid. I just thought that's the way life is. Never thought any different. And a lot of us are living life, and you might be living a life that has been like this maybe for a couple generations now, and you think that's just the way life is. We've been perishing, we didn't know it, but we don't know any different. So we accept it. Is it possible that God has something better for us, but we don't really hardly want to believe it because we've become so accustomed to perishing, to being sick? We live in a constant state of perishing, but we think, well, that's just what life is. It doesn't have to be. In what way are we perishing? Let me give you a couple examples. People are losing in the game of life. Just look around you. Listen to the news. Read the newspaper. Watch people out in public. Society is degenerating generation after generation. But here's the thing. A new generation comes on the scene, they don't know any different. They don't see it from hindsight. We naturally go downhill. That's our natural. If we don't work to stay going uphill, we're going to go downhill. Families are falling apart. Family was the first institution God ordained. And God has a plan on how the family is to work. Satan has a plan on how to make the family not work. And people do not know how to, a lot of people don't know how to raise kids. And many were not raised well themselves. The institution of marriage is disintegrating. Matthew 19, now this is nothing new. Our society has gone through cycles of this all the way through since creation. But in Matthew 19, what did the Pharisees say? Well, can a man divorce his wife for any cause? I mean, they had come to the point where if she burned his meal too many times, he could get rid of her. And all he had to do was go out in public where everybody could hear him say, I divorce you. And basically that's all it was. And he wasn't supposed to go back and take her back, but they were doing that too. Found out the other, he got a new gal, she was pretty, but she was a worse cook than the first one. I mean, just playing with marriage, with a commitment, like you're buying cars and selling cars. Maybe not even to that point. You go down to Burger King, you want to have it your way. If you don't get it your way, you're going to get rid of it, go someplace else. If you don't like this girl, go get another one. You know, you laugh about that. So you turn 40, you trade her in for two 20s. And we found out last night that she turned around and said, well, you can't handle 220. You're not wired for 220. The national average of length of marriage is 8.2 years. Now, you know what happens? That's just long enough to have a few kids and then break up the family that is supposed to train those children. So instead of training them to do right and have integrity, we are training the kids to do whatever pleases them and satisfies their immediate lusts. And then those kids are going to rise up, are going to grow up. And you have a natural desire to get married and have kids, or at least get married. But then you end up having kids. And then they're not going to know how to raise kids. Instead of training them to do right, we're training them to do whatever they want. 42 to 45% of first marriages end in divorce. 60% of second marriages end in divorce as of October 3rd, 2012. third marriages end in divorce 73% of the time. Now, either they do not know how, again, I'm not trying to hurt, I'm just saying, we've been here. We can do something about this. Even if you're one of the statistics. His mercies are new every morning. We can do this and start over again. I'm not beating this. We've all have our issues. But either we don't know how to choose a good mate, or we don't know how to be a good mate. In 2018, 15% of folks ages 25 to 34, 15% in 2008, lived with an unmarried partner. That was up 12% just a decade earlier. More Americans under 25 cohabitate with a partner, 9%, than are married to one, 7%. Two decades ago, those figures weren't even close. 5% were cohabiting, 14% were married. The family is disintegrating. 35% of children are growing up in a single-parent family. And the world is trying to convince themselves that this is okay and normal. What I'm saying is, it's building up, it's building up. We don't know it. We're coming into this and we're accustomed to it. Children are growing up in a single-parent families typically do not have the same economic or human resources available as those growing up in a two-parent family. So if our integrity and everything is tried, you know what we do? There's naturally going to be more sin. Compared with children in married coupled families, children raised in single-parent households are more likely to drop out of school, to have or cause another teen pregnancy, or to experience a divorce in adulthood. Now, why are there so many single-parent homes? Well, premarital sex. If you're getting milk already, why buy the cow? I'm sorry, but that's the case. Why the single-parent homes? Divorce. Just don't like it, I'm going to get a divorce. 3, indifference to marriage. Not willing to commit. And I'm sorry, they don't have enough integrity to commit, probably. Murder, loss of life to crime or disease, that happens. Listen, sin brings forth death. Look at the connection between our families and the vision of God. Look at Proverbs 29 with me real quick, if you will, please. Proverbs 29, if you were in Psalms, no, you were in Proverbs before. Proverbs 29, verse 15. Look at the connection here. Look at it. Verse number 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Now, let me say this. There are times when we need to warm the kid's butt. I understand. But that's not the answer for everything. But sometimes but wait a minute. You do that early enough, they're wearing a diaper. It doesn't hurt them. It hurts their feelings more than it hurts their butt. Their bottom. I'm sorry. We had all the kids over the house during Christmas, and Hannah and Steve came in from Cleveland. Our daughter Hannah, some of you don't know who they are, but and they have three little ones, and of course they're all kindergarten and under, and then the Gaskills bring their three over, and you got three others that same basic age, and they're run. Oh, my soul. After a while, Poppy has to go out and get a little breath of fresh air. But anyway, we were playing with them, and they were playing around, and Janet was just kind of messing around, just kind of playing with them. And one was kind of crawling up on the sofa and getting down, crawling on the sofa, and one was crawling up, and you know how it is, and they were still wearing diapers, and she, beat on him, on their backside, and they're giggling and having a good time and giggling. She was hitting them a whole lot harder than we do when we're actually paddling them. But they were laughing, having a good time. Isn't this funny? But if you look up and show them, you stop that. They cry like you just beat them to death. What I'm saying, we're not here to beat them, but we are here to prod them in the right direction. Point in the right direction, poke them a little bit, tug a little here. This is what we do. You limit their options, if you will. That's what we do with sheep. the shepherd has a rod and a staff. He has a hook on one side and he has a knot on the other side. But he's not going to beat him to death because that's his, listen, for no other reason. That's his bread and butter. He doesn't raise sheep because he has nothing else to do. That's what he does for a living. You kill all the sheep, you get rid of all your inventory. So he's not out here to beat a sheep to death. They're a resource. They are his hope. There's what he's got to look forward to. Kids are the same way. We're not here. By the way, don't have kids if you can't just love them and if they're all they are is a bother. You need to change your ways. Your kids are not a bother. They're an asset. Listen, happy as a man whose quiver is full. He may have to go out and get a fresh air once in a while, but happy as a man whose quiver is full. Ride reproof, give wisdom. Watch. But a child left himself bringeth his mother shame. First of all, folks don't know that. But it's talking about raising a family. Now watch. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth. But the righteous shall see their fall. Well, what does that have to do with it? Listen, you don't raise the kid right, we're going to see wickedness coming out. Foolish is bound the hard child, but a rod of correction shall drive it far from him. My son Nathan was talking in Sunday school class this morning. He was talking, and he's found out that the older he gets, the smarter his old man is. I learned that. The older I got, the wiser my father was. I learned there were some things he didn't know. One of the things he brought up was he used to tell me, if you're going to buck authority all the time, one of these days you're going to end up in jail. And you know what? That's exactly what happens. People who buck authority young and don't learn to obey authority. I'm not saying be a mouse. I'm not saying go crawl in a corner. I'm saying they're obey the powers that be. God, they're ordained of God. To not obey the powers that be is to not obey the powers that were ordained by God. It means you didn't obey the ordinance of God. Well, I don't think the guy's a good guy. Maybe that's not the point. Obey the powers that be, unless you cannot obey them and obey God at the same time. That's the way it be. And he said, I used to tell him, you know, if you're going to disobey authority, you're going to end up in jail someday. He said, well, kind of overkill. Here, I'm 9. You already tell him I'm going to end up in jail. But he's found out, you know what, that's true. That's exactly what this verse here is saying. He says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself, well, it's all right. Just give him enough chance to do right. You live in la-la land. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame when the wicked are multiplied. You know what that means? This child was left to himself, and this child was left to himself, and this child was left. Now, maybe she did all she could, but for some reason, she got pregnant. The man's off. Now she's trying to raise him by herself. She's going to work, and the poor kid has to come home to an empty house. He's left to himself. She doesn't have time to train him. She's just plain just too tired to deal with it. I understand. But one little thing after another, and all of a sudden, we are perishing. Because little things we haven't done the way God tells us to do them. So we got this family over here. That child was left to himself, and that child was left to himself, and that child was left to himself, and that child was left to himself. And so what do we have? Now we have a generation. The wicked are being multiplied. And when the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth. There's more problems. When generation of kids do not have the word of God or not raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, it will continue to get worse and worse generation after generation. Oh, it's okay. Well, maybe we can handle this, but the next generation, this new generation. How many times have you heard that? But the righteous shall see their fall. You do right. You're going to watch it. You'll be seeing it. Look at verse 17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. My kids are a blessing to me. They're raised and they're out of the house. But they still like to come back. Grandkids are a wonderful blessing, a double blessing, when they come and when they go. I like it for them to come, but I'm okay when they go. When the Jaggers come into town, they move into the house for a week. And then so we kind of lose the house there for a week. And so when they go, I'm glad to have them come, but you know, it's okay, they go back to Cleveland, and then we have the house back. And that son who thought I was being too mean and dramatic and overly harsh is now an amazing blessing. Well, you just got lucky and had a good kid. I had an itchy little boy. He wanted to do what he wanted to do. He would have been diagnosed with ADHD, everything else. You know what we have now? We have something called ODD. Odd. Now, what it even goes. Yeah, opposition defiance disorder. You know what it means? Doesn't like anybody to tell them what to do. I have that. But you know what happened? I had a mother and a father who used the rod of correction to drive it far from me. Now, they didn't beat me to death. My mom had a fly swatter. One of those little metal handle fly, that's like a clothes hanger fly thing. And she'd swat back of my leg. Of course, it bend the thing. But it didn't do any damage. Boy, it stung. And I knew better than that. But she didn't, you don't have to beat the kids to death. We don't beat them black and blue. By the way, you do that early enough, you won't have to do it long. Don't wait until it's an emergency and everything's already set in stone. You win your heart of your kids by the time they're 4, 5, 6 years old. If you win the heart of your kids by the time they're 4, 5, 6 years old, by the time they get to school, you'll probably be able to keep them. Now watch this verse. I'm not getting very far, am I? The rod and reproof give wisdom by a child, but a child left to himself brings a mother to shame. When wicked are multiplied, then you get a transgression increased. Okay, so you get more folks they haven't been raised right, the more problems you're going to have. The more problems you have, the more folks aren't going to be raised right. So then the more problems you're going to have. And the more problems you have, the more folks aren't going to be raised right. And the more problems you're going to have. You follow what I'm saying? And it says, but the righteous shall see their fall. Watch. Correct thy son. Here's how we can fix this. Correct thy son, he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall be a delight unto thy soul. Now look at the next verse. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. That's our verse. Where does it start? In the home, with the Word of God. We decided to throw the Word of God out, and we're not raising the children according to the Word of God. And so what we're doing, we're raising generation after generation who are biblically illiterate. Well, I don't know what to teach them. Well, let's start today. Well, I don't know how to do family devotions. Well, bring them to church. Sunday school is at 9:30. We teach you word. We teach you the Word of God. You know what we teach? We teach our children. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. Right out of the book. Be nice. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. And by the way, it's the Word of God. It's not just like any other book. There's a power behind it because the Holy Spirit wrote it. You get them young, get them early and young, we can change this. This is one reason we have a Christian school. To help you during the week. Because there are a lot of times they're not getting that. In fact, they're being taught in a lot of schools by people who weren't taught themselves how to do right. They're being taught to do things, trained, so to speak, in things that they shouldn't have been trained in worldly wisdom and worldly philosophy. I'm not saying it's wrong that if you send your kids there. I'm just saying that's why we do it. So it's another opportunity for the kids to hear truth. One of the things that we do in our schools is the fact is I want our teachers to love those kids. Well, you love me, let me do what I want. No, if a child left to himself, a man who spares a rod hateth his son. No, we don't do corporal punishment. If you go spank your kids, that's your business. You do it at your home. I don't want anybody beating my kids. We're not doing that. But the fact is, there's consequences. We're not going to let them get away with just anything going on. We're kind of strict, right? It's called love. It's called training. Listen, you're going to go to the battlefield, and you want a bunch of guys there who's going to be right next to your comrades. You want them to have gone through training.
Well, boot camp's a little harsh, isn't it?
If they're going to survive war, they better be trained. You know why our kids, listen, do you know that colleges are offering what's called adulting classes? Adulting classes. What does that mean? Kids are grown up, have no idea how to live life because their parents have not taught them. And maybe because their parents didn't know. I don't know, maybe it's been generations. But they don't know how to live life because no one taught them. Don't tell me you love them. Except, well, you just let them do whatever I wanted. You just set them up for failure. You want your kid to fail? You call that love. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. The child has to be trained. If we're not going to train them, we're going to have a problem. Now, listen, we've all failed as parents from place to place and time to time and stuff. And I understand that. But we don't have to make it a general purpose in life. We can do everything we can to raise them the way they're supposed to be a help. He says, where there is no vision, where we don't have the word of God, the people are perishing. But he that keepeth, protecteth, guardeth, make it a point in their life, the word of God, make it a point in your life, happy is he. When you start seeing your own kids raising their kids according to the principles of the Word of God, and then they go, "Puppy," you know, because they're getting paddled by my parent, "Puppy, little puppy." Now you listen to your mom and listen, grandparents. Now you know, don't. I'm serious. Don't say, "Well, it's my turn to spoil them." Not if you love them. Yeah, not if you love them. Because if you don't, if you go against their authority, the main authority in life, which is their parents, you're teaching them to buck authority and get somebody else to hear you. See, this is all strange. Well, I did that right. Well, I didn't do that right. Well, we probably all have done a lot of things we haven't done right. There's a lot of things. I wish I could start over. I know there's a lot of things about the Word of God now that I was never taught until I got in the midst of it and had to go find it. People are perishing. The family is disintegrating. This is totally, I'm saying I'm going down another road, but I want you to see how we're perishing. Disease is prevalent. Disease is prevalent. Now, you can read this with me if you want, but I'm going to read it real quick. In Leviticus chapter 26, Leviticus chapter 26, verse 23. Do you realize that many diseases are simply the result of our loose and wanton lifestyles? Leviticus 26, verse 23. Lord is speaking, says, "And if ye will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary unto me," he's given the law. But if you want to do what you want to do, how you want to do it, when you want to do it, that's your choice. But if you just refuse to let me train you, reform you, so to speak, verse 24, then will I also walk contrary unto you and will punish you yet seven times for your sins. And I will bring a sword upon you, and that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when ye are gathered together within your cities, I will send a pestilence among you. And you should be delivered into the hand of the enemy. That pet word pestilence, destroying plague. Romans 1:27 says this: likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly. Now tell me what that's talking about. Huh? Yeah. Now the homosexual community wants to say that the New Testament says nothing against it. Now I just read it. You knew what. You could see very clearly what it's saying. Burn their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. That Adam Clark, again, the commentator says this: both the women and the men, by their unnatural prostitutions, enervated their bodies so that barrenness prevailed. Those disorders which are necessarily attendant on prostitution and sodomy practices. Why do we have venereal disease, STDs? Because somebody did something they shouldn't have been doing, and then they did something else with somebody else, and they passed it down, and it's rampant. Do a little study where syphilis and gonorrhea came from. Where HIV actually came from. Now, you know what the problem is then? Some little kid is born with it. Because somebody down the road, I'm sorry, didn't know how to keep their pants on. I'm going to do what I want. No one's going to tell me what to do. Listen, where there is no vision, the people are perishing. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I didn't have to enter marriage with a venereal disease. We didn't have to worry about some other disease making her barren because of some things she had done earlier in her life. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm honest. I'm trying to get our attention here. Our schools want to teach our kids sex education. Basically, what they're doing is teaching them how to do it. I don't know about you. I figured it out all by myself. Comes natural. I'm trying to be, indiscreet here. I'm just saying. I tell you what we do need. We need to learn how to not do it when it's not appropriate. That's what we need to learn. But abstinence, oh my goodness, don't teach the kids that. You'll warp their psyche. I'll tell you what warps your psyche. Being a 16-year-old girl, now all of a sudden you're responsible for another human being. That'll drive you bananas. And that boy who said, I love you till the end of the earth, found that the end of the earth was down the street. He's gone. Here, one more, and I'll be done for today. Crime is rampant. Crime is rampant. Did you listen to the debate Wednesday night? I did. I don't have a piece of paper. I don't have anything I went through. I ripped it up, at the end. They all debated. They all talked about all the problems in our society. And basically how we're going to put our thumb on the top of this Coke bottle of society so it doesn't spray everywhere and everything fall apart. They want to regulate us out of all our freedoms. Do you realize that freedom, liberty, it's the law of liberty. You realize, you know what really chains us, what really enslaves us is the sin that drags us down till we're lost in the muck and the mire. What gives us liberty is Christ when he makes us a new creation. Watch, gives me liberty. I remember the day when you didn't even have to lock the doors on your house. The town I grew up in, a lot of the houses didn't have locks on them. You didn't think about it. You just trusted. I remember the first time, the house I grew up in, it was actually owned by a banker. It was a pretty nice house, and he had locks on the house. And I don't know, by the time I knew about locks, old enough, we were living in a house and had locks on them. But I remember one day, my aunt said, I need you to go over to my house and get so-and-so. And I said, we have the key to the door. I said, no key, there's no lock. Sure enough, she lived on the corner of Main Street. At a traffic light, right where there's in the back door, anybody could have gone around there and stolen blind. Didn't have a lock. Didn't need it. My dad tells a story about a time he and his buddy bought an airplane. He was doing all kinds of things. And didn't know how to get it home, so they pushed it down Main Street. There was this biplane. They pushed it down Main Street, and it wasn't quite wide enough, and so they would get in this car and move it up and put it over this way, and then they move this one over here, and they work this thing down Main Street, But all the cars were open and unlocked. And if that was all said and done, they weren't saying, who did this? Who did this? They said, oh, it was Sterling. My dad's a Sterling. His name's Alma Jr. It was Sterling and his son, his buddy Russell. Well, they got? Oh, I got a plane. Oh, those boys. Because honesty was a normal thing because somebody had trained them to begin with. Somebody had lived by the principles of the Word of God to begin with. Our society had been there. But we're perishing. Mass murder is becoming a daily event. Shootings and lootings are now a back page story. Home evasions. They said it the other night. Gun violence. Guns are not violent. The people who use them are violent. And you watch the news. I don't know whether you've noticed here recently. There's been a whole lot more killings by way of knives than machetes and knives and this and that and the other thing. So what are they going to do? We're going to have knife control? How about the guy who killed his wife on the ATV? The all-terrain vehicle? No, we're going to have ATV control. And I'm trying to be facetious. It's these things are not wicked. It's what the wicked hearts of men do with it. Well, why are they like that? Because where there is no vision, the people perish. Where the law of God has not been put down and used. Robert Winthrop, a Speaker of the House back around the beginning of 1800s, you've heard me give this quote. He said, men, in a word, must necessarily be controlled by either a power within or by a power without, either by the word of God or the strong arm of man, either by the Bible or by the bayonet. I'm going to stop here. And we're going to pick up. Now, folks, there's a lot of things going on in life. Many of us are like this little stupid preacher who was drowning in his own fluid and just thought that was normal life. You just work a little harder. You just push a little harder. We'll just push through it. And they're basically saying they were surprised I hadn't already dropped over dead. And some of you are drowning in life. You don't have to drown in life. Here's what we need to do. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In other words, tell me what I need to do. Okay, what do I need to do next? Or what's the next? Well, what do I do after that? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against him. I need to do what he tells me to do and how he said to do it. In that perfect, look into that perfect law of liberty. And you'll be surprised that in the midst of all those rules, happy are ye who keep them. We'll say, well, it's too late. I don't have the scripture with me, but the Lord said there are times if we get, it's possible that he'll give you back the years the locust ate.
Amen.
The locust came along and ate everything right down to the stem, down to make nubbins on the ground. And that's because they had turned their back on the Lord, didn't have the blessing of God. But he says, you know what? You come back to me. I might even give you back what the locust ate. By the way, when it says that God, he gives us a blessing and a curse, and we have our choice. Remember, the curse is just not having the blessing. You're stuck, you're in this world, and you are left to the disposal of the world. And the world, there are people, the world's out there to get you. Satan's out to get you. And he said, well, I'll do it all by myself. And so God just says, okay, go ahead. And you know what happens? We get lost in the natural loss of what this world brings. And we're left to our own devices, which is not enough. You need the hand of God in your life. The blessing of God. The protection of God. Blessed the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Another verse, and it says, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Verse number 4. But the ungodly, remember this from last week, are not so. The ungodly isn't necessarily a bad person. They just don't let God run their life. They got the godly and the ungodly. They undid the God part in their life. And then they're like the chaff that the wind blows away. Why am I? It just feels like life is just blowing me around. I'm at the mercy of everything that's going on. It just keeps coming. Because you decided to let God out. You didn't on purpose put him in. People are perishing. There may be some right here. It may be that neighbor. It may be your kids. It may be somebody else, a friend. We need to get a vision of what God can do. And then by step, do it. Whether it's for our sake or for somebody else's sake, we need to do it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessings and for taking care of us and for your promises, for your word. Now, Lord, I ask you to speak to each heart here individually. You know how you're applying all this. We need you, Lord. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet.